Fortnite brings out the drum shotgun, and more coming up on today's episode of the Latest in Tech News. Hey Gadgeteer, you're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech, gadgets, and gaming news. That's right, this is the Latest in Tech News. My name is Taylor Merrick, and if you're new here, hit that subscribe button right now so that you don't miss out on the latest news. We do this every single day, Monday to Friday. Bear in mind any off days or holidays that happen to come up. And wait till you get to a part of the show that you like to actually hit the like button. It's common sense. If you don't like it, you don't like it. And if you do, you do, but let them know that you do. YouTube has that option. They've had that option for years, unspecified eons of time. So be sure to utilize that option. Today we'll be taking a look at, well, the drum shotgun. Apparently it's pretty good gun, but not really all that great. I don't know. Then we'll also be taking a look at Roku, the most popular streaming platform in the US. And finally, we'll be taking a look at cosmic rays that apparently can harm computers, but experts ironically say we don't need to worry about. So we'll be getting into all of that. And yeah, you might be wondering why the shorter show? Usually you have a bunch more articles than that to look at. Well, today's a little bit of a busy week, and seeing as how there will be no show tomorrow or Thursday, because Thursday is July 4th, and here in the US, we celebrate Independence Day, so we will be busy the whole entire day. It's a federal holiday, everybody's off, so we'll be out with family and friends in parades and fireworks and get-togethers, so the whole entire day's booked up, and quite frankly, I couldn't find time to put that in the schedule. So if you're outside of the U.S., you know, I'm sure you understand when you have your Independence Day holiday, or however you celebrate your country, you have your own day that you take off, as it were. So with that, also it means that we don't have any did you know, any tidbits or facts, but it's okay because you can expect more of that next week. Next week, there is no holiday, nor the week after, nor the week after. So I'll be able to do a regular show perfectly fine starting next week with the full onslaught of articles. By the way, we have an active community, or at least trying to. I'd like to personally, me, Taylor, talking, personally invite you, if you're watching or listening, to head on over to forum.technewsgadget.net. Join the community forums and get some discussions going on there. I'm going to try and jump in there more often and see what I can do to boost conversations. That's a feature that I know is really important. And rather than having sporadic conversations over Twitter or YouTube or Facebook or comments on the website, it usually helps if we have a nice group of people on the forums. And then we can at least stay on the same page instead of clicking over onto 3 or 4. So, with that out of the way, I believe that wraps up the announcements. So, let's head on over to today's history segment. All right, today is July 2nd, 2019. On this day in 1953, IBM announced its 650 series of computers, the first mass-produced computer and the dominant computer of the decade. The IBM 650 stored information in a rotating magnetic drum and received it on a programmed punch card. Its memory stored numbers with up to 10 decimal digits. And whew, that was like bleeding-edge tech back in the day, but also the first mass-produced computer, so that helped popularize more of the notion, and definitely steamrolled the way ahead to start shrinking down the size of computers and then opening it up to more the consumer market so that you can have them in the house. Because prior to that, the machines of this era, they're giant warehouse monsters. So with that out of the way, let's head on over to today's feature story. Oh my gosh, it's Ninja. Oh, actually not. It's not Ninja just yet, but, well, Ninja has been melting people with the drum shotgun, and everybody's all excited about it, so everybody's on Fortnite and playing Fortnite. But apparently, according to some reports, the drum shotgun isn't that good. But, well, this is what happened after the release of the drum shotgun this morning. On paper, the gun seemed incredibly powerful. Automatic shotguns have a history of being quite powerful. Remember the AA-12 in Modern Warfare 2? So Fortnite players were worried this would be the same. The first reaction to the gun came from streamers as they shared highlight clips of the new weapon. Ninja was the first one to record a kill with it. Just look at his chat as he gets the elimination. We won't actually. Can we look at that, or am I going to get in trouble with it? No, I'll just leave it. I'll leave the link up in the article so you guys can go take a look at that. But they do have the video about that. The chat picked up speed with plenty of what the heck and OP reactions coming from his community. But the drum shotgun actually isn't that good. Once more players were able to get online and try out the weapon, the public opinion on it suddenly shifted. The main issues with this gun are lack of range, the very low headshot multiplier, and the immediate bloom. I think Tim the Tatman definitely threw a fit when it came to bloom. He's like, I'm usually really good with guns. Who needs building materials when you have a gun? So, that's Tim quote for you. So, apparently, DPS on this is 200. I don't really see how. The stats are solid, but not amazing. Damage is like 50 per. Fire rate is 4. Magazine size is 12. And the reload time is 4.3. Yeah, 4.3 seconds. Having an automatic shotgun isn't great if the automatic part becomes wildly erratic quickly. Lack of damage output makes it very weak against other shotguns. Keep in mind, if your opponent has a combat, you have to hit 3 to 5 shots on them from a range where they are able to 1 or 2 shot you. So while you might be all excited about this, keep in mind, if they have a combat shotgun, they immediately outrank you for that. The Fortnite community rarely disagrees on a gun's power level. Now, there are plenty of arguments about whether or not guns should be vaulted or nerfed, but there really isn't a ton of variance in what guns are considered good. And it seems to change depending on the meta of guns that come out from time to time, and being that guns are introduced and guns are taken out, that changes the meta wildly, and then you see people, you know, tacking on an SMG, or tacking on a combat shotgun at all times, or tacking on an AR, so that they have the firepower that they need in their kit. And then some of it's just personal preference based on the streamer you're watching, or your personal style of playing. In either case, I'm interested in your thoughts, so feel free to leave those in the comment section below. And if you're watching this on YouTube, that's the best place to do it. If you're listening to this as a podcast, head on over to twitter.com/TechNewsGadget. We are at TechNewsGadget on Twitter. You can leave your thoughts there, or you can head on over to the community forums, forum.TechNewsGadget.net, and leave your thoughts there as well. Registering is free. Free. So, this is what kind of this whole conversation now is what makes the drum shotgun kind of interesting. On one hand, you have people calling it OP, and on the other hand, people are calling it basically unusable. Although it's not unusable, it's just maybe not preferable to a gun that you would. I guarantee you drop that one quicker for a combat shotgun than you would for some gray SMG. So, when a community apparently can't agree on a weapon's power, it's usually a good thing for Epic. Any weapon added to the game that is obviously OP or obviously useless is either a problem or a waste. It'll be interesting to see how the drum shotgun power level ends up after a couple of days playing around with it and players getting used to it and it's slowly becoming meta into it. What are your thoughts? Like I said before, drop a thought in the comment. Hit that enter button because I don't know what it is unless you hit enter. So, yeah, my thought. I heard about the drum shotgun, I'm like, oh yeah, this seems interesting, a nice automatic shotgun we have back. And then I had the thought in the back of my mind, I said, I bet you a combat shotgun would probably be better. I bet you could probably still, yep, sure enough, you can still get 1 or 2 pumped, and you're dead with combat shotgun compared to a drum shotgun. But I don't know, if you just need that extra burst power, or maybe they need to fix something with the bloom, we should be able to see something more concrete in terms of power level and in terms of comfort level with said weapon. So, with that out of the way, let's head on over to the next story we got for you. Alright, so this one's coming to us from The Verge, and apparently Roku is the most popular streaming platform in the US by a huge margin. Now, for those of you wondering, hey, where can I read the articles that you covered in today's show? Head on over to technewsgadget.net, and there you can click over to the show notes and, well, click away to your heart's content. And if you're actually listening to this on the podcast, the show notes with the article links are in the show notes. So go ahead and have fun with that. Also, it's helpful if you're on the go, unless you actually want to physically watch the show. If you're on the go, you can still listen to the show. We're on iTunes, we're on Google, we're on Spotify, Stitcher, you name it, we're there. So, over 30% of all new TV streaming services sold in the U.S. last quarter ran Roku software, according to a new report from Strategy Analytics via 9to5 Google. The sales mean that Roku is now used on more than 41 million devices across the country. Roku's share of sales was more than double that of both its closest competitors, namely Amazon's Fire TV, present on 12% of devices sold, while Samsung's Tizen could be found on 11%. Now, the figures don't necessarily mean that Roku is selling millions of its standalone streaming devices, though. Along with being used on streaming boxes like the Roku Premiere, Roku's straightforward software is also used as the built-in operating system for smart TVs, such as those from TCL, JVC, Sharp, Philips US, and others. So, it just seems to be an easy software to use. And we have a graphic on the screen showing a huge spike in terms of Roku streaming platforms, devices in use in the U.S. Huge. I mean, we're looking at the rest of them are sitting around 30 millions, and Roku is up mid-50s. So according to Strategy Analytics, the five most popular streaming devices run software from Roku, PlayStation, Xbox, Samsung Tizen, and Google, which includes Android TV, as well as Chromecast devices. Despite its perceived popularity and strong sales, Amazon's Fire TV platform is in sixth place. Ironically enough, in terms of devices currently in use, these figures suggest that most people are content to use their TV's built-in apps to stream video or rely on a gaming console they already own for entertainment. The days of the dedicating streaming boxes are hardly over, but it seems like most people, and you might be one of them, really aren't rushing to buy a standalone set-top box nowadays. I mean, if you think about it, if your TV's smart enough, it has built-in software with it. And if you have an Xbox, or a PlayStation, or both, or a Nintendo, you can get all the TV options that you want. So you don't really need any set-top box because you'll get all the features on it. And each platform, PlayStation, Xbox, has their own suite of apps that you can use as well. And those give you easy connection to YouTube, Netflix, Hulu, the big ones. So, yeah. Surprise, surprise. Roku's right up in there with a bunch of them. So, if you have any thoughts that you'd like to share, I'd love to hear them. Feel free to leave those in the comment section down below. Alright, and our final article today comes from Insider. Apparently, tech companies have been silently battling a bizarre phenomenon called cosmic rays that would otherwise wreak havoc on our electronics. Now, no, I know what you're thinking right off the bat. No, the Decepticons are not taking over Earth. And no, we don't have to worry about Shia LaBeouf peeking around a corner because he's Shia LaBeouf. The dude should have just stayed in the movies. It would have been great. I mean, that's for me what made Transformers funny and enjoyable to watch. After that, it was just kind of, what did you guys do? With the exception of probably Bumblebee, that as a standalone movie worked out really well. I really enjoyed that one. So aside from all the hacking, security, and privacy uncertainties we face every day by using electronic devices, not to mention the horns that seem to be growing out of people's heads in Australia from too much cellular phone use, I don't know. There's another little-known threat that could wreak havoc across a wide range of electronic devices. Cosmic rays. Now, a Radiolab podcast that aired in May described how tiny, charged particles violently expelled from exploding stars beyond our solar system, otherwise known as cosmic radiation, hit the Earth and slam into our technology in silence. These particles could have had a hand in some pretty scary events in the past. Now, there's one key thing you need to know about cosmic rays and how they affect technology. Cosmic rays have the power to bit flip. Now, that's to say, cosmic radiation can flip a 1 in a computer program's binary code to a 0, or vice versa. And in case you didn't know, binary code is kind of what's built everything that we have today in terms of technology and programs. Zero or one, those are the only two options. It might not seem like much, but computers rely on an accurate set of binary instructions, which are made up of millions of ones and zeros. To a computer, one is a different instruction from zero. That means a bit flip can cause computers and electronics to do things they're not meant to do. So the only plausible explanation is, take an election that had a problem with this in Belgium in 2003, for example. In a district of Schaerbeek in Brussels, one polling station during the 2003 election registered more than 4,000 votes in favor of the Communist Party. The problem was that those 4,000 extra votes didn't match up with the area's population. Now, the Communist Party received more votes than there were voters at that polling station, Radio Lab Simon Adler said in the podcast, so they decided to go and look into it. Clearly, this posed a problem. A nation's political identity was at stake. Through some clever mathematics and investigation, and after ruling out software, hardware bugs, or even voting fraud, it was eventually discovered that a bit flip caused by cosmic rays was among the few plausible explanations for the malfunctioning voting system. So, it happened again in 2009. That year, Toyota issued a recall on more than 9 million vehicles worldwide because of sudden and unintended acceleration, with people unable to use their brakes because the controls were all computerized. Now, Toyota was ahead of the game at the time when it came to vehicle technology, and, well, unfortunately, it was pretty dramatic and a tragic episode. People were killed, and someone was even released from prison because a person had been wrongfully charged with running people over in a Toyota that accelerated uncontrollably, according to Radiolab's podcast episode. So when the experts dug into the problems with Toyota's car at the time, it was found that many of the issues here were caused by, well, you guessed it, a bit flip. It's even speculated that the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 exploding battery fiasco could have been caused by cosmic rays. Apparently there is a professor of computer and electrical engineering at Vanderbilt University. Talked to Insider about it, and he dedicated a large chunk of his work to studying the effects of cosmic rays. So, still, the evidence so far that cosmic rays were behind all this fiasco isn't as strong as it is for the Belgium election or the Toyota recall, and Samsung's official findings suggest that the exploding batteries were caused by erroneous battery design and defects. But in any case, computers understand only the instructions they're given. It's either a 1 or a 0 to them. Consider it a yes or a no, and that a yes can be silently and randomly flipped to a no at any given time because of this cosmic radiation is a scary prospect when we're delegating more and more tasks to computers. So, big concern, you can't really stop the neutron radiation, cosmic radiation, whatever you call it, without putting 10 feet of concrete right in front of your cell phone, for example, or your laptop. And that's really not practical, and now that there's really no practical way to shield our electronics from cosmic rays, What do we do? Well, we're in good hands. The aim here isn't to cast fear, uncertainty, and doubt. The tech and scientific industries have known about this since the 1960s, and the events detailed above occurred when more old-fashioned analog systems were making way for new digital computerized systems, and when the effects of cosmic rays on electronics weren't as well understood. These days, cosmic rays might be a concern, but we're in good hands. Companies in aerospace, defense, aviation, and consumer electronics, as well as chip manufacturers, automotive industry, communications industry, IT infrastructure, and more are aware of the effects of cosmic rays and have worked with researchers to implement safety and mitigation measures. These rays are so well managed and correctable that they're almost non-event. If they weren't, our electronics would be facing all kinds of problems right now. So, yeah, it's actually quite interesting. And I guess they have a podcast episode called Bit Flip if you want to listen to it. So it is about an hour long. So if you're looking for something to do and this is something that interests you, I figured I might as well give you the link to that. You guys can go enjoy it to your heart's content. So with that wraps up today's tech news. And with that wraps up this episode. Thanks for tuning in, guys. New episodes every weekday except for tomorrow and Thursday. That wraps up, well, the end of holidays, at least here in the States for a while. I think the next one is a good couple months from now, so we're fine. Latest in tech news can be found on every major platform, including Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Stitcher, Overcast, and more. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, super and super important, let us know by clicking that like button and by leaving a comment. Also, double check that you are subscribed so that you don't miss out on the next one. Be sure to ring those bells, too. I'm your host, Taylor American. Remember, for the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, visit technewsgadget.net. Pretty much keeping awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.